It's an all-new Football NYC on YesNetwork.com. Former offensive lineman Ross Tucker and Joe Callow give the best Big Apple football insight on the web, all about Big Blue and Gang Green.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
And here's Joe Callow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Football NYC. I'm Joe Callow, and I'm joined every week by former NFL lineman, one of our co-hosts of This Week in Football, the one, the only, Ross Tucker. And Ross, boy, what a rough week for the Giants and the Jets. On Sunday, the day started early with the Giants, and boy, they really never even got a chance to get anything going in this game. Drew Brees, who we both love and we both think is a great quarterback, didn't even let the Giants breathe in this game. New Orleans Saints went at him, and it turned out to be a blowout.
Well, as we talked about last week, Joe, I thought the Saints would win the game, but not like this. I really did not think that they would go out and score that many points. I mean, this is the New York Giants. They came into the game with the number one defense in the NFL, and they got torn apart. I mean, Drew Brees, and I think it's about time that we start to recognize not only how good Drew Brees is, but people are always saying how they don't have a great number one receiver or they don't have a top 10 receiver. I don't care. Are you kidding me? With some of the catches that Colston made, that Lance Moore made, the one in the end zone by Robert Meacham. I mean, from a Giants perspective, I don't know if you look at it as a positive or a negative, that they had good coverage a lot of times. I mean, they really, it wasn't like guys were wide open. There was very good coverage. The problem with that, though, is that the Giants' DBs weren't making the plays on the ball to separate the ball from the man.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees was on target, and the Giants could not get to him all day. He has great pocket awareness. I mean, there were some times where the Giants came very, very close to getting to him, but they didn't. And a lot of times when the balls weren't in their hands, the receivers, yes, they did go up and get the balls. It was really impressive to watch these receivers pull down these boys. The Giants in the secondary were not being physical at all. And then a couple of times when they tried to be physical, they were getting called for penalties. A couple of times their feet got mixed up. So it was just a rough day all around for the Giants defense. And I think this week not having Boley really hurt them, because you saw Antonio Pierce drop back in coverage and Shockey beat him for the touchdown. Obviously, Shockey was really excited to play his former team this week. And it just was an overall bad game for the Giants defense. You know, I'm hoping they can recover this week. You're going up against another great offense, but Kurt Warner is a guy that will stay in the pocket a little bit longer, and you can get to him and try to get him to fumble the ball.
Well, the one thing I want to make sure all the Giants fans know, obviously, is that it only counts as one loss. Was it ugly? Yeah. Was it brutal? Yeah. But that's what Coach Parcells used to tell us when I was with him in Dallas. Hey, it only counts for one L. You know, they're still 5-1. They're still a very good football team. And everything that they want to accomplish this season is still in front of them. In other words, the Giants are still going to make the postseason. So I don't want to say that the game is meaningless, because it isn't. You know, home field advantage matters. Having a first-round bye matters. But all those goals are still in front of them. And I would not be surprised if these two teams met again in the playoffs. I really wouldn't. I think that they're going to have to find a way to get more pressure on Drew Brees if they play again. And I think that's exactly what they'll have to do to Arizona and Kurt Warner. I don't think the Cardinals' offensive line is as good as the Saints' offensive line. The Saints' offensive line, they got Jermon Bushrod from 1AA Towson at left tackle, Jari Evans from Division II Bloomsburg at right guard. Those guys are playing well. Yeah. I mean, those guys are playing really well. The Giants really couldn't even get much of a sniff.
No.
I mean, it was that easy for Drew Brees and company. And then Eli seemed to be a little off his game. And that was, you know, how about, Joe, the amount of animation Eli showed when Ahmad Bradshaw blocked the wrong way?
A lot of emotion. You could see that this game really meant a lot to him, because he was playing, you know, at home for the first time. It really meant a lot that they played a nice, crisp game. They really just couldn't get it on the offensive side of the ball. And I thought the big turning point was just before the half, when the Giants finally stopped Drew Brees in this offense. And they get the ball, and then Eli gets sacked, and he fumbles the ball. And the Saints just take it in for another score. I really thought that that was the turning point in the game. Not that I'm saying that the Giants were going to stop them any better in the second half, because until that drive, they really proved they couldn't stop them. But what I think it would be a little bit of a more of a closer game in the second half without that happening.
That was the backbreaker. That was absolutely the backbreaker. And then in that same series, Joe, Kareem McKenzie goes down.
Yeah.
We don't know what his status is. And that's a big drop-off between Kareem and William Beatty, their backup, the rookie from UConn.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, and he's just not nearly as physical as Kareem. I think people can take advantage of him. He is athletic. So I'm interested to see this breakdown when they play the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are coming off a very impressive win at Seattle, and the Cardinals are kind of an up-and-down team. You don't really know which team's going to show up. If the good Cardinals show up, it's going to be a barn burner. If the bad Cardinals show up, should be an easy Giants win.
And the Giants have showed under Tom Coughlin that they can rebound. Last year they had that bad loss against Cleveland, and then they strung off a bunch of wins. And a couple of years ago, Super Bowl season, they rebounded from a really bad loss in Dallas and Green Bay where the defense really didn't even show up. So we'll see this weekend what happens with the Giants. So you do like the Giants in this game?
I'll take the Giants, yes.
Okay, so Ross likes the Giants at home against Kurt Warner and the Arizona Cardinals. We'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit about those New York Jets, who are 3-0, and all of a sudden 3-3, and now Sanchez is not the franchise that the Jets thought he would be.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
Football NYC, we're back. We spoke about the New York Giants and their bad loss to the Saints. Ross thinks they're going to rebound this week against the Arizona Cardinals. Now we have to talk about the New York Jets. And the Jets had one of those typical 4 o'clock game at the Meadowlands. You know, the weather was bad, and it could have been Richie Kotite out there coaching. It could have been Al Groh out there coaching. It's now Rex Ryan. It seems like the results are the same no matter who's quarterbacking this team. The Jets have a tough time in these division games at home in the bad weather. Mark Sanchez really had a bad game. What'd you take away from the offensive side and the defensive side?
Well, this is a bad, bad loss for the Jets. I mean, if you legitimately want to make the postseason, you can't lose at home to the Buffalo Bills. You know, I think we all forgave Sanchez for the Saints loss. And then the Dolphins loss was really on the defense. Yeah. So at that point, they're still 3-2. You know, they lost to 2 pretty good teams, both on the road, but at home.
Yeah.
To the Bills. This is the same Bills team that scored 3 points at home against the Cleveland Browns. And not only that, their starting quarterback got knocked out. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Harvard grad, comes in, and he leads them to this overtime win. This is the one, I think, that if the Jets are able to recover and have a decent season, this is the one that they'll be kicking themselves over, because this will probably end up being the difference between them making the playoffs and not. And they got a lot of concerns now. I mean, obviously, Mark Sanchez, and we'll talk about that, poor performance. Now, he says it wasn't the wind, 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
You're not going to win with 5 interceptions. You're just not.
And for the first time, I think I saw out of Rex Ryan, this coaching staff, the Jets ran the ball so well. So I don't
Over 300
them.
Yards.
Yeah, so I really don't blame them for wanting to run the ball, but they really looked like late in the game and in overtime, they really were afraid to pass the ball because they really were afraid about what would happen if Sanchez dropped back and passed the ball. Now, I want you to tell me, what have you seen differently in Sanchez the first 3 weeks as opposed to these last 3 weeks where he's really playing some bad football?
Well, first and foremost, there were times the first 3 weeks when he was throwing it to guys on the other team, they just weren't catching it.
Yeah.
You know, now it's kind of nipping him in the bud. They're actually catching it. Secondly, you know, he was hurt by some drops. You know, I would say that not all his interceptions were his fault, but still, several of them were, and it's not good enough. He realizes that. He needs to play better. I can't remember the last time an NFL team rushed for over 300 yards and still lost the game. I mean, that should never, ever happen. Thomas Jones goes for 210. Leon Washington was up there as well. That just shouldn't happen. You can't lose the Bills at home. I do think Sanchez will bounce back. I think the biggest concern is, you know the expression, Joe, you can win the battle but lose the war, or lose the battle but win the war. I'm afraid that the Jets might have lost the battle and the war, because they lost the battle against the Bills.
Yeah.
But when Chris Jenkins goes down like that,
yeah, that's tough.
The fulcrum, the keystone of your defense at the nose guard position in the 3-4, I mean, Rex Ryan loves the guy. He's a dominator. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
That's a big loss. I mean, they've got other guys, DeVito, Puha, you know, Marcus Douglas. They've got other guys that can fill in. They don't have any more Chris Jenkins. And I think we've seen what Chris Jenkins does to people. He's a difference maker in this league. So that, to me, is almost as devastating as them losing the game.
Yeah, and it seemed like not only were the Jets afraid to put the game in the quarterback's hands, but also the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they did their best to pretty much not try to win this game late, miss field goal, and in overtime, you know. And if Lee Evans brings down that ball, boy, the game is over right then and there. And they did it the hard way again, and Lindell kicks a long field goal, which he missed earlier. And, you know, I agree with you. I think the Jets, this is really going to tell what they're about. If they rebound this week, I mean, it seems like we're saying that every week now. We want to see how Rex Ryan reacted to his first loss. Okay, now we'll see how Sanchez reacts to a bad game. And I agree with you. I think this is a huge week for the Jets, and they need to rebound.
Yeah, they're playing at Oakland, and the Oakland Raiders beat the Eagles. I still haven't gotten over that.
Yeah.
I won't get over that forever. I just, you know, the Eagles put a stinker up there every year. But the Raiders showed heart. I think what our good friend Antonio Pierce said last week really got the Raiders going a little bit, especially the defense and the defensive line, because they were all over McNabb. And if they're able to do that against a very good Jets offensive line and get pressure on Sanchez, it could be a bad day again. I mean, this is not – a couple weeks ago you would have thought, okay, well, yes, the Jets lost to the Dolphins, but they've got the Bills and the Raiders coming up. They'll be 5-2. I wouldn't be shocked if they lost. I'm still going to take the Jets, yeah. Joe, but I wouldn't be shocked if they lost.
Ross, I agree with you. I also think the Jets will rebound this week and get a victory over the Oakland Raiders. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy game, but I do think the Jets are going to win this week and get back onto their winning ways. We'll be right back in segment 3 when we'll go around the NFL and we'll talk about some games that are interesting this weekend. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. We'll be back.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
We are back, segment 3, Football NYC, Joe Callow, Ross Tucker, and Ross has told me that this weekend he would be traveling to Pittsburgh. So he better have his heavy coat on. But last week, he was in New England where he should have had his boots, his gloves, and his hat on. That was a snowball fight, and it was Tom Brady lighting it up in that second quarter, huh?
Yeah, and I was ill-prepared. I did not bring the proper clothes, so I was freezing my butt off. I didn't realize it would be a nor'easter and sideways snow. I also didn't realize that the Patriots would absolutely throttle the Tennessee Titans. I mean, this is a prideful Titans bunch. They've got Kevin Mawai and Keith Bullock and Kyle Vandenbosch and a lot of guys that have been around for a long time and are good players in this league. I couldn't believe it. Honestly, Joe, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in my life in the National Football League. Literally, everything the Patriots did went well. Everything the Titans did went poorly. I mean, I'm calling the game for Sports USA Radio Network, and we're laughing because every time we say about the Titans, it can't possibly get worse.
Yeah.
They would fumble a snap or the punter would shank it. It would get worse. And I think if you're the take home for the Pats fans is it's a really good sign. I mean, Brady was on the money. I know the Titans dropped a lot of coverages. I know, you know, that the Titans don't have a very good secondary. But still, to have that type of yardage, those touchdowns and those weather conditions, that's a great sign for Pats.
And it was the first time, you know, I saw Jeff Fisher after he lost that Super Bowl where they fell 1 yard short of tying the game. And on TV, they kept showing Jeff Fisher's face. And it really looked like he's just baffled here. He really thought he had a really good team coming to the season, given, yes, about the secondary. But I don't think we thought that Kerry Collins was going to be, you know, this bad this early in the season. We all know it was a matter of time before they at least try to give the ball back to Vince Young. But, you know, it's not a given that Vince Young is going to do anything anymore. But Kerry Collins just couldn't connect on anything. And they have really good running backs. I mean, Johnson, you would think in a snow game like that, that Johnson could at least get some yardage because Kerry Collins wasn't connecting with anybody or Lendell White with power of the ball. But I agree with you. I really was impressed with what I saw out of the Patriots because I think they wanted to make this also a statement game, you know, not because of the weather, but because, you know, because Belichick really kept them going at this game, you know, whether it be in the second quarter where they're scoring, you know, up into the 40s or whether they get to 59. I really think Belichick wanted everybody to step back and say, this is what we're going to look like for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and we might be talking about it 5, 6, 7 weeks down the line. and talking about how this was the springboard to more things for the Patriots.
Yeah, and it couldn't happen at a worse time for the Jets, who were in control of the division. Now the Patriots are looking good, so the Jets really need to rebound, as we spoke about before. But now let's get to the game where you're going to be going this weekend, which I think is a terrific matchup. Pittsburgh is always a hard place to play. Brett Favre, let's hope the weather isn't cold, because we know Brett Favre is like the inside guy now. He loves the domes now. But what do you think is going to happen in this Pittsburgh game?
Well, the Steelers are awfully tough at home. They are. Both their losses so far this year were on the road at Chicago and at Cincinnati. And the Vikings, 6-0, give them credit. Brett Favre, you know, he's made all the plays. He really has. But they've been very fortunate to win some of these games. Yeah. I mean, the Niners game that I did for them earlier, they were that fantastic throw, fortunate throw, whatever you want to call it, by Favre to Greg Lewis. That's how they won that game. And then this past weekend, really, if the Ravens kicker just puts it inside the uprights, the Baltimore walks away with that win. And really an impressive job by Joe Flacco bringing his team back against the Vikings. The Vikings defense, especially after Antoine Winfield went out, just isn't as good as it had been in recent years. I like Pittsburgh in this game. Mm-hmm. I think the Vikings, to some extent, are due for a loss. I think Pittsburgh will play well at home. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of looking for a breakout win of their own this year.
I also like Pittsburgh in this game because they're such a tough team to beat at home. And I think that, you know, they're riding so high in Minnesota right now. And you're right, it came this close to Baltimore beating them. You know, even if they had a couple of more yards and he kicks a field goal, you know, and also the San Francisco game where Brett Favre makes that miraculous play. But, hey, this is football. The ball could bounce either way. Don't apologize.
And you are what you are.
That's
they're
right.
6-0. Give them credit where it's due. We can say they are fortunate. They almost lost this. That doesn't matter. They won.
And the last game I wanted to talk about this weekend, which I think is really interesting, is Chicago now coming off a disappointing loss where they really played pretty well in Atlanta, is now going to Cincinnati, who had a loss this week, because we all thought, you know, after that first loss of the season, Cincinnati's been playing real well. So this is an interesting matchup also this weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams out there that just seems like they have a really tough time handling prosperity. You know, the Jets are one of them. The Bengals are one of them. It's like, you know, they're not used to being good. So that when they're good and they're getting all the adulation, it's like they can't handle it, and they'll have a game. Like if you're the Bengals, you know, I know the Houston Texans have a good offense. I know the Houston Texans are a decent team, but you can't lose that game. I mean, if you seriously want to win the AFC North, you can't lose at home to the Houston Texans. You can't do it. I think that they'll bounce back. I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I lean towards the Bears, though, primarily because the Bengals lost Antoine Odom. He tore his Achilles. He's out for the year. And realistically, he is a top-five player on that football team. I mean, going into the game on Sunday, he had 8 sacks. He was tied with Elvis Dumervil. And now that he's out for the year, I think that's a big, big problem for the Bengals. It would be tough for them to get pressure on Jay Cutler. And as a result, I like the Bears on the road.
So he likes the Bears on the road. He likes the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. And Ross likes both the Jets and the Giants to bounce back this weekend and get some victories. As always, Ross, it has been a pleasure. This has been Football NYC with Joe Callow and Ross Tucker. Tune in later in the week to YesNetwork.com for the big video broadcast with myself and Joe Auriemma. And keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for all of your football needs. Till next week, we'll see you.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.